Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. And the pickle bar, led by the barrels and the dills, indeed is second to none. Don't worry about the cold weather. Stock up now and then enjoy your weekend. And we're in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Great to have you with us here today on the show. Heading into actually one of the slower weekends of the year. You have a lot of college basketball this weekend. You have the Senior Bowl this weekend. You have the Pro Bowl this weekend. Yeah, the Pro Bowl. That lights the lamp. Wow. Pro Bowl. Sean, great to have you back.
Awesome to be back. Yeah, that's why I said earlier this week I'd rather see Saints Chiefs on Sunday. And that doesn't have to be a third place consolation trophy game or anything like that. Just a competitive football game. Just to tide us over till next weekend.
That was the old NFL playoff bowl in the 60s.
Yep.
They would play in the Orange Bowl in Miami, which is now where the Marlins play. Steelers were in it 1 year. Eagles were in it 1 year. The Eagles thought so highly of it, they started Jack Concannon at quarterback. Both teams. I think 1 year Green Bay had to play in it, and Lombardi hated it. Lombardi's like, what? Do this? Now, the schedule was a little different back then. Didn't go this late into the year. But yes, the playoff bowl. That's really bad. In fact, let's take a moment here and let's see here. I know the Eagles played. I thought they played the Colts 1 year. I think the Steelers played the Lions 1 year. Something like that. Let's see, playoff bowl. Let's see here. Let's see. I got something. The Pro Bowl. Come on, man. Playoff Bowl. Wikipedia. There we go. Found it. And the Playoff Bowl was indeed played at the Orange Bowl in Miami, known as the Burt Bell Benefit Bowl, from 1960 to 69. Good. It benefited the players' pension fund. That's why they played it. The winning team got $600 apiece. The losing team got $400 apiece. By the time the fifth year of the game came around, they got $800 for the winners, $600 for the losers. In the final years, the winners got $1,200, the losers got $500. So, the first playoff bowl was in 1960. And Detroit beat the Cleveland Browns 17-16. The second one was in 61. These are all played like the season after, so 62. Detroit won again. They beat Philadelphia 38-10. Then the Lions, I mentioned that the Steelers got in, beat the Steelers 17-10. The Lions are the all-time leader with three appearances in the playoff bowl. Green Bay, this is the one that Lombardi hated. Green Bay beat Cleveland in 1963, 40-23. The St. Louis Cardinals then beat the Packers in 64, 24-17. The Colts beat Dallas 35-3. Then in 66 into the 67 year, the Colts beat the Philadelphia Eagles 20-14. And just to show you, in 1966, I was, let's see, it was played January 8th, so it was played 67, so I was 9 years old at the time. I just turned nine. I watched the game. That's how into it I was. I watched the game. Let's see. Then the Rams in 67 beat the Browns 30-6. Dallas beat Minnesota 17-13. The Rams shut out the Cowboys 31-0 in the last one ever played. The highest attendance was 65,000 when the Colts beat the Cowboys. Lowest attendance was 22,000, but I think that was played in a rainstorm. Detroit was 3-0 in it. Dallas was 1-2. The Browns were 0-3. The Colts were 2-0, Rams 2-0, Packers 1-1, Eagles 0-2, Cardinals 1-0, Vikings 0-1, Steelers 0-1. Wow. That is your third place game. Wow. And I actually watched it on TV a couple times. A couple of these games I watched. I definitely watched when the Eagles played. I saw that game. I know that. And I know I watched the Rams-Cowboys game, and I know I watched the Cowboys-Vikings game. That's how desperate I was to watch football. Miami News, January 3rd, 1970. Pride, richest plum in playoff bowl game. Let's see here. Here's another article. The NFL used to play a third place game, a loser's bowl for losers. Again, this is the brainchild today of one Sean Carey.
A couple of summers ago, we had Richard Sandomir on the show, the longtime writer of the New York Times. He wrote a story back in 2011. Little consolation in third place games. So you have to, if you Google playoff bowl 1960s, you may come across his write up from the New York Times, but. Well, they might have called it the Burt Bell Benefit Bowl for a former commissioner.
Right, right. That's because it benefited the pension plan.
Yeah.
Here's the article. Here's an article from written by Alex Watt. It was written 5 years ago, in 2014. If coming in second place just makes you feel. Like you're the first loser, what can be said about a team that finishes third? For 10 seasons from 1960 to 69 of NFL football, they'd call you the winner of the playoff bowl. Officially named the Burt Bell Benefit Bowl after a league commissioner who suffered a fatal heart attack in 1959, it was played the week after the NFL championship game, except in 1969 when it took place the day before at the Orange Bowl in Miami. The participants were the second-place teams in the NFL's Eastern and Western Conferences. The playoff bowl gave the fans another dose of playoff action and raised over $1 million for the players' pension fund. But it was not without its critics. Hall of Fame coach Vince Lombardi referred to it as the, quote, SH Bowl. I'm not going to say all of it. And called it a loser's bowl for losers. Lombardi went on to say the playoff bowl was a hinky-dink football game held in a hinky-dink town played by hinky-dink players. That's all second place is. Hinky-dink. I told you didn't like it. See, you didn't believe me. Even those who came out of the winning side had their complaints. Roger Brown, who won all five playoff bowls he played in, because he played for both the Rams and the Lions,
called his participation pitiful. It took some time, but the NFL eventually came to agree. In 1970, when the merger with the AFL was complete, the league decided to discontinue the playoff bowl, further distancing itself from the Losers Bowl for losers, and also the pensions of retired players. The NFL only recognizes the playoff bowl as an exhibition game, making the official title of third place nothing more than a best-case scenario for the New York Jets. This is an article about your idea.
I wouldn't be surprised if a lot of people use the word ridiculous to describe the NFL this season, because if you think, it feels like years ago, though. I mean, all the way back in September, it just seems like, you know, you caught a lot of whistles, a lot of roughing the quarterback calls, and then things finally started to calm down. So I found this quote by Frank Ryan, the Cleveland Browns quarterback who led his team to the 64 NFL championship but lost two runner-up bowls. He was quoted as saying, "That ridiculous game shows how ridiculous the league was in those days." It's almost a quote that could have been used. Well, maybe some Saints fans use that exact same quote after.
I remember watching it on TV, and I was young, obviously, at the time. But I was like, okay, well, it's another game, but, like, you knew it meant nothing. Like, finishing third, I mean, I was 9 years old. I knew it meant nothing. I mean, my goodness. Now, like a dope, I watched it because I liked football. But now you have the Pro Bowl. People are critical of that. Vince Lombardi. He did not mince words. Now, back then, only the conference winners played in the NFL championship game.
Well, you could probably clean up what Lombardi said and call it toilet bowl.
No, I think I gave everyone the general impression what he said.
Yeah.
I mean, you think you got people sitting out the Pro Bowl now. Imagine the people who want to sit out the playoff bowl. Kansas City playing New Orleans this week, they'd be like, we're not going to do this. No way. Playoff bowl. Another Sean Kerry idea. It's already been tried. Vince Lombardi doesn't like your idea.
Maybe on a slow weekend, NFL Network could do a marathon. They could run all the playoff bowl games like back to back in like a full weekend.
To be honest with you, you know what?
Maybe no,
to be honest
no
with
cameras.
You, they probably don't have. No, they all were. Every one of them was televised, so they all were
archived.
But they probably don't exist on tape, because the first two Super Bowls, for example, aren't on tape. Because what happened was, it was back then they would reuse tape. It wasn't until they got to the third one and said, "Man, we got to keep all these things." But the first two Super Bowls, the tape of the actual broadcasts, NBC and CBS each did one of Super Bowl I, and CBS had Super Bowl II. The full games do not exist because they used to reuse tape. We'll take a break. Keith Sargent is going to join us from NJ.com next half hour. Steve Blass is going to be on today as well. You know, it's 60 years for Steve Blass as part of the Pirates organization. Did you know that? 60 years. All right. We'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by our good friends at Brewers Outlet.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.
Great to have you with us on the show today. We'll talk about basketball next half hour. Then we'll get to our picks. And then Steve Blass in the final half hour today. His first year with the Pirates was in the organization was 1960. This will be his 60th year. Can you believe that? Is that remarkable or what?
All the stories that he has accumulated over those decades.
Yeah.
On the mat, on the road, broadcasting games.
Yeah. Well, he's seen all the changes where you couldn't move to now where you can move. He was not obviously a player when you could move. I mean, 1974 was his last year. Hey, you know, and everyone knows he won Game 7 of the 71 World Series. But all told, he was, I mean, in his lifetime, he was 3-1 in postseason on the mound. And fabulous ERA, 3.10. Great. Won a couple World Series games, playoff game. Yeah, you know him as a broadcaster. That's what the younger generation knows him as. You know, I know him as a guy who at one point was a 19-game winner and an all-star. But yeah, he hit one home run in his career. It was 1969. And I might as well ask him, like, okay, who was it off of and how did that happen? But he grew up in Canaan, Connecticut, and Housatonic High School. And
but I bet in his mind, as he was rounding the bases that day, yeah, this home run is just as big as Bill Mazeroski.
Might as well have been. What the heck? He hit a robust 172 in his career. Robust. Let's see. Well, he hit over 200 three times. Back 1 year, he was 10-24 in 1973 at 417. Now he drove in one run. He had two doubles. He had 10 hits the whole year. But still, hey, what the heck? Let's see, he hit 114 in 1970. He hit 120 in 1971 when they won it all. He has many hits in 71 as he did in 73. The difference was he had 24 at-bats in 73, and he had 83 at-bats in 71. Drove in two runs the whole year. Hit one career home run. Now, he was actually the runner-up to the Cy Young Award in 1972. But you'll be on the last half hour of the show today. Next half hour, Keith Sargent. We'll talk with him from NJ.com on the Penn State-Rutgers basketball matchup coming up tomorrow at the Jordan Center. The student ticket money is all going to Thon tomorrow. Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. And we're in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15. And Hummel's Wharf on News Radio 1070 WKOK. When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way? The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia was 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Now through Tuesday, Boxer Lager, Boxer Light, or Boxer Ice 36-pack cans, just $14.95. Imports, domestics, microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drink, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. And the pickle bar, led by the barrels and the dills, indeed, second to none. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, and Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Tomorrow, Penn State will face Rutgers at the Jordan Center at 4:30. For all of the student tickets tomorrow, all the proceeds from the student ticket sales will go to Thon, the annual Thon game. Let's get the Rutgers perspective. They're coming off a win against Nebraska Monday night at home. Bringing Keith Sargent from NJ.com. All right, Keith, great to have you with us. Welcome.
I was all set to maybe play 18 holes on Saturday morning. I guess I can't do that over in State College.
If you bring an orange ball, you can. You can do that. They also have simulators, Keith. So they have simulators. So if you want to go play a simulator, go for it. Okay?
Yeah, I might do that.
With all due respect to Rutgers, and I thought they played very well Monday night, I watched the game. In some ways, did Nebraska allow Michigan State to beat it twice?
That's a great question. I think that Rutgers, they were kind of ripe to play that type of game. You have to keep in mind that Rutgers had lost the previous three games, but they got their best player back, Eugene Omoruyi, who's really, not only is he the leading scorer, but he's the team leader, and he's the best defensive player they got. His numbers weren't great, but, I mean, he just was, a total, his game was phenomenal, and he really made a difference in that game. I think Nebraska, they shut down one of their two best players, so anytime that happens, it's a pretty good defensive game plan. And I guess, when you're talking, it was like 5 degrees out that night. Not that, the game was indoors, but sure. It was cold. It was tough conditions. You're talking about a midweek game, early midweek game, travel. And I wasn't really surprised by what you would consider maybe a Nebraska letdown.
I want to ask you about the offensive rebounding. They're averaging 13 offensive rebounds per game. Are there moments where the best part of Rutgers offense is the offensive rebound?
Yeah, I mean, last couple of years has been no secret. I mean, they've been last in the Big Ten for as long as, maybe 4 or 5 years now in shooting. And when that happens, there's going to be a lot of offensive rebounds to be had. I do think that Rutgers is a pretty good offensive rebounding team under Pikel the last couple of years, regardless.
Yes.
I mean, I think it's a mentality that they have. It wasn't the same, under Eddie Jordan, and, the shooting was, just as bad, 4 years ago. So I do think that it's something that Pikel preaches. I think they have really good players, and I do think that it's an advantage, in most games.
Montez Mathis had a career night, 20 points and the 9 rebounds, both career highs. What have you seen in his development?
Yeah, it's a great question. He's he was their best recruit, labeled as a 4-star in a lot of circles. They beat out a lot of programs to get him. He has developed more so than any Pikel recruit that I can remember, in season. He's really developed since, early in November. He's just become, a lot more aggressive. He's still not a great shooter, but he's a pretty good slasher to the basket. He's a very good defender for a true freshman. And, I think he's going to be the type of guy that, you know, Rutgers is going to build around for the next couple of years.
Last time I saw Geo Baker was in person was in Madison Square Garden in the tournament last year, and I was really impressed with how he had developed. Has he been able to take that experience at the end of the year and what he did in the Garden last March, has it translated into a better Geo Baker this year?
Yeah, I think part of his issue, yes and no. I mean, I think part of his issue has been last year he had Corey Sanders to play off of. He was more playing the point guard. I don't think he's a true point guard. He's being asked to be that this season. I think he, in a perfect scenario, he'd be your second or third scoring option. Right now, you know, on a lot of nights, he's being asked to be the first scoring option. All that being said, I do think that he's gotten better. He's the X factor. When he goes well, the team generally goes well. When he's off, when he's not shooting, when he's not making things happen as a playmaker, Rutgers tends to be stagnant offensively. The thing I always say about him, you saw him in the Big Ten tournament. You know, that was probably the most impressive part of his entire season. I think he's going to be a four-year starter. You know, a rare four-year starter. You know, in the Big Ten, the type of guy who, you know, wasn't necessarily a McDonald's All-American, but a type of guy who's developed into, you know, the type of player that like Villanova and some of the programs that don't get those McDonald's All-Americans love to have. Those guys who, you know, by their senior year, you know, they develop into like a really, really solid Big Ten player.
Yeah, that's what I've said about Penn State the for years now. Penn State has to be a program in order to have success where they transition to being consistently 3 out of 5 years the older team out there.
Which is what they had last year, right? I mean, they had, you know, a couple of really, really good guards who were, you know, staples who had experience, and that's what you want. You want your seniors to be playing your best basketball. Rutgers is not going to get, nor Penn State, I would assume, they're not going to get those one-and-done, two-and-done type guys. So you really need your guys who might be a little bit, you know, underlooked on the recruiting trail to develop, you know, as juniors.
Ron Harper and Shaq Carter, what have they added to the table for Rutgers to give them a better all-around feel?
Yeah, we'll start with Shaq Carter. He's another guy who's really developed, from a minimal, maybe the ninth guy off the bench into a starter, you know, in the last couple of weeks since they really turned into the Big Ten play. Rugged guy. I think, he's going to be a type of guy who, you know, he's only getting better. Ron Harper Jr., father was, Ron Harper,
yeah,
from the Chicago Bull, you know, won NBA championships. You know, really good NBA player, had a really good NBA career. Another guy, not exactly necessarily a big-time recruit, despite playing at a, North Jersey high school power, despite really having a good senior year. You know, I know, you know, recruiting nowadays, you know, it all gets wrapped up before your senior year, but this is a kid who was one of the best players in the state, you know, in a talent-rich state, you know, a year ago. Still needs to shoot the ball better. I think he's only getting better, and another guy who I think Pikel is going to, you know, rely on maybe as a starter for the next couple of years.
You mentioned in the beginning, in the initial answer, about getting Eugene Omoyori back.
Yep.
What does Omoyori, A, bring to the table for them? Because obviously he was inspirational the other night. And what can't he do with that brace on that left knee right now?
He conceded that he's not going to be 100%. He's going to have to play through pain. It's the same type of injury that he had a year ago, dislocated kneecap. We were stunned, to be honest with you, that he came back as quickly as he did. As Steve Pikel said, it was a 6-week injury. He came back in basically 2 weeks. I guess the best thing you could say about him, and the thing that really points to just how much of a defensive presence and a leader and the type of guy that his teammates rallied behind, is he took 13 charges a year ago. I think that led the Big Ten.
Yeah,
that really speaks to a guy who's willing to do anything, put his body on the line. And not only that, but he's really improved from the offensive standpoint. Shooting, he's not going to be a great shooter, but you know, his mid-range game isn't bad. He's leading the team in scoring. He's really developed into a really good Big Ten player.
Rutgers has taken 17 charges this year. Omoyori has 14 of the 17 so far this season. See, what you
think? No, he had 28 a year ago.
He had 28 a year ago.
He's got 13 or 14 this year.
Yeah, he's got 14 out of the 17 this year.
And when you see, I mean, when you know his injury stuff, and, you know, I'm telling you, he had a charge late in the game against Nebraska that, you know, if you didn't know the story, you would just say, oh, okay, well, nice job, you know, taking an offensive foul and stopping a possession. But it was a type of play that really just inspired his teammates and really, you know, allowed Rutgers. I mean, I think they outscored Nebraska 8-2 down the stretch. That was the type of play that, you know, the teammates, how do you not get inspired by seeing their best defensive guy, a guy who, you know, had the injury that he had, you know, throw his body on the line like that.
Keith Sargent from NJ.com joining us. Keith, Peter Kiss, the transfer from Quinnipiac, and then there's, I believe he's a redshirt freshman, Miles Johnson. What have they done for the depth for Steve Peichel?
Yeah, Peter Kiss was a guy who, you know, was a really touted as a really good shooter. He's another guy, kind of like, I mentioned Geo Baker. Like when Peter Kiss is going, when he's shooting the ball, you know, that it's just a different offense. I mean, he hasn't done it night in, night out. He has to be more consistent. But he's the type of guy that, you know, when he's going, you know, you're going to see Rutgers, you know, have an inside outside offense and really be able to score. Again, needs to be more consistent. And then Miles Johnson, you know, we just saw him, you know, have a double double, and he just really, it was his best game, I've seen him so far. You know, if I mentioned Baker as an X factor, you know, Miles Johnson might be the guy because I mean, when you get into the Big Ten and the heart of the Big Ten play, you need guys like that. He's developing into a really good one, and not only is he a pretty good, solid rebounder. He's a solid offensive player. You know, defensively, he's averaging almost 2 blocks per game, I think, you know, since they've turned into Big Ten play. He's really provided a presence inside, you know, when players drive to the basket.
Yeah, 13 and 11, equaling career highs in the win over Nebraska Monday night. Keith, thanks so much. Safe trip in. We appreciate your time very much. I look forward to seeing you Saturday.
Anytime. Thanks, guys.
Keith Sargent at NJ.com. Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket. And we're in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. On News Radio 1070 WKOK. Great to have you with us on the show today. I think some of you probably know that there was a shooting that took place here in State College late last night, early this morning. A fourth person has now died from that. It happened down at the Ramada, just down at the end of the street. So, from where I am, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, not too far from your place, and actually it's where... Yeah, Megan and Andrew had the wedding reception.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
about a year and a half ago. I was floored when I saw that news this morning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, the ex-girlfriend is in Pittsburgh, where she was shot. She had been shot last night. They transferred to Pittsburgh. She's still alive. But the 19-year-old son of the man who walked over to intervene. Well, the man was shot and killed last night. The son died today, the 19-year-old. Oh, boy. Just awful. Awful. All right, well, we'll try and lighten things up here for everybody, but I figure I'd update that part, because obviously it's been a major story. And, they did have a press conference here this afternoon about that. It is a slow weekend in many respects with national sports. The SEC and the Big 12 will be playing their challenge this weekend in college basketball. The ACC Big 10 Challenge, which takes place late November, may spill once in a while into early December, but for the most part is that last week of November, right after Thanksgiving. My guess is next year will be in early December because Thanksgiving is so late this year.
I would think if they move it to December, then they can have games on multiple nights. I would say this time of year very difficult just because of conference play.
Except you can, to me, if they were to play now, you can clear the weekend out. Play it on a weekend. Because what's your competition this weekend? The Pro Bowl? I think it's something to at least discuss. Maybe leaving where it is the right spot for it, because it then will lead into conference play. Same thing with the ACC. Remember, the ACC is expanding to 20 games next year in college basketball. Let's see what they want to do with it. I think it's probably going to stay in the same spot because you're going from the ACC Challenge right into conference play for two games. So it does set up a big three-game set for any team in college basketball. I'm only suggesting this particular weekend to look at because there's nothing going on this weekend. This is a wide open weekend with the Senior Bowl, Pro Bowl. Neither team's landed in Atlanta yet for the Super Bowl. On this particular weekend, football's taking a hiatus. So you take advantage of it. Big 12 and SEC will. I just thought I'd throw it out there as we were sitting in a conference room with the idea of let's brainstorm. I throw out the idea for brainstorming, and I don't have any hard and fast opinion on when it should be, but I do think it's worthy of discussion to go around a room and ask, what do you think? Notice who's left out in this scenario, though. Who is left out in the scenario? The Pac-12. Years ago, not that many, I want to say 7-8 years ago, the Big Ten had entered into an agreement with the Pac-12. This is when the Big Ten had obviously did not have Rutgers or Maryland to play football games on either the opening weekend or the second weekend of the season. And then they were going to set up four triple headers, I think in early December, for a Big Ten Pac-12 challenge. The hurdle they could not get over was USC, and the other hurdle was Stanford, because their football scheduling was so tied up, they just could not create the space to do it because the Pac-12 was already involved in a 9-game schedule. In fact, it may have been the Big Ten Pac-10 at the time. I don't even think Utah and Colorado were not in yet. But the hurdle they had to clear was football scheduling with Stanford and USC. Stanford and USC already were playing Notre Dame as a non-conference game, and they only had two other openings. In the end, I think that was one of the roadblocks they had overcome. But notice the Pac-12 is in none of these discussions. Pac-12 right now is struggling with its conference network. It's struggling with its level of play in the field in football. And it's struggling in its level of field, its level of play on the court. The Pac-12 might get one bid to the NCAA tournament this year. They're struggling. Same story in football. Next half hour, the King's going to join us. Today's show brought to you by our good friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket. We're in the Sunbury Motors Studio, Sunbury Motors 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
Your station for news, weather, business, and CBS Sports Radio. News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury and on WKOK.com.